It's Friday. Do you know where your IT pros are? We don't. It's Patch and Seth. And now, an IT pro and a dev who still don't know what localhost is for IPv6. It's Patch and Seth.
I didn't know I was supposed to update the graphics that way.
You should have said Patch and a much better looking Joey Snow. I don't know.
Careful, he's listening.
Oh, is he?
The band has to finish off.
Okay.
It's coming.
It's kind of a...
We pay them for the full thing.
Yeah, they won't stop early.
They're routing in here. How do we get them out quickly?
Oh, my goodness. Welcome. It's Friday. Everybody, this is the Patch and Switch Show. And we're down at Joey Snow.
Yeah, there was an unfortunate incident. I don't know if you know about this, but Joey Snow's enclosure is by Building 92, and apparently a child fell in.
What?
And they had to tranquilize Joey so that he wouldn't hurt him. You know, because you can't let kids into Joey's enclosure.
Before he has coffee.
Right, because then evil things happen, and so they had to tranquilize him. And
okay.
He's still resting recovering. Comfortably.
Resting comfortably.
In his bale of hay.
Very nice. Very, very nice. I'm joined in the studio today by Seth Juarez.
Yeah, look at that.
Look at that. I'm trying it out. Seth Juarez is joining us today, but I will apologize because he does have a dev influence, so I have no idea how this show is going to go today at all. Mm. He's not going to ask me questions about programming, and I'm not going to ask him questions about infrastructure.
Or maybe we should.
No.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Just like you can ask me a question about packets and stuff, and I'd be like, yeah. I used to get them at school all the time for math homeworks and stuff.
Homework packets,
yeah.
That sort of stuff. Mm. This is the Patch and Switch Show. A full hour, although we're now going to be down about 7.5 minutes or so, I think.
We could run 7.5 minutes long.
I don't know if Seth pays his bill for the live stream account, we might be able to do that.
Well, like I said, I did max out the card. I bought an extra goat this month, you know, just to see, you know, because other ones were having a hard time by themselves. I have 6 or 7
nice.
That I know of. And so I might have overdrafted on my card.
Nice.
Sorry about that.
Oh, my goodness. We're here in the chat room. If you haven't been a chance to go there, go to patchandswitch.com. There's a button that's orange that says, come on and join the chat. And you can join us in there. Say hello to the chat room for who we happen to have as I get my little web page warmed up again because, you know, you never – this TLK to IO, we pay vast amounts of money to be able to use this.
Yes.
As you probably know. There's a refresh. Here it comes. And we've got Frederick in from across the pond, and same thing. Also, I saw Henrik there earlier. I don't know if Henrik is still there. We've got Wireless Life joining us from up north. The Kosher Coder has joined us as well.
Yes.
I see Visio MVP. Mr. Kupka, Tom Kupka, has joined us there. And this guy named Patch and Switch. I don't know who that is. That's just some guy that snuck in there.
He's been stalking me for several months.
Okay.
I have a restraining order.
He's subtweeting you.
Oh.
Whenever you tweet, he does a little follow-up afterwards in the forum to make sure you where it goes. Do you know how the show works, my friend?
No. I mean, I like I said, I've always begged Joey to come on, and I've had this, like, I can't watch it until I've seen how it works, mm-hmm. and I haven't seen how it works.
Okay.
And so now I'm going to watch it. No, actually, I did watch it one time.
You did? Well, you probably saw us at Channel 9.
Yeah, absolutely.
Channel 9 Live.
Absolutely.
At one of the events.
No. There was one time where I actually came on and went into the chat room did stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I know.
So we should probably introduce you officially to the thing. So tell us a bit about yourself. Who are you, man?
My name is Seth Juarez. On my off times, I like long walks on the beach.
Nice.
I have a small poodle named Fifi. And I am an Olympic twister champion.
Olympic twister champion.
I was going to wear my Olympic spandex,
ooh,
competition spandex today, but I didn't want to overshadow the show.
Yes, we appreciate that.
Thank you.
We appreciate that for not sharing it. But you're one of the illustrious hosts and content people over here at Channel 9.
That's right.
That have loaned us this magnificent studio to be able to use.
You know, I will say that this studio feels like I'm in the gulag or something.
The what?
The walls are like really barren. I feel like here, coming deep inside of prison, we have a live show that we're, you know, we got to spruce up these walls or something.
This is a step up from the server room that we used to have. the converted server room.
That's true. So
we're happy that we actually have enough space to be able to move around.
Not only that, we don't have any OSHA violations with you around.
It's very true. They were always nervous about those power panels, about how close I was to them, because there is a restraining order that I have to stay at least 36 inches away from those things at all times.
Okay. Yeah, but this is our brand new studios. If you're ever in Redmond and you want to come by, we're happy to give you a tour.
Right. Just ping @SethJuarez on Twitter to be able to get that exclusive invite.
Correct.
You're there.
Correct.
The format of the show, good job there. Almost I spilled that water. The format of the show is we have five major sections. The first section is called From the Trenches.
Oh.
And so From the Trenches are basically war stories. You're looking at me funny, man.
When did we get five? It was four.
Well, we have beer talk in there, too, and
I know,
stuff
but
like that.
There's
still, we'll do the math.
Maybe he's coming up with something impromptu. Man.
Yeah, you never know, man.
I mean,
never know.
No, it's not in the notes. What?
We're not following the script today. We're throwing the script.
There's a script.
Mr. Producer,
we're doing
it live.
We're doing it live.
Nice. So the first one is From the Trenches.
Okay.
So basically, what have you been doing in your day job for the last 2 weeks?
So effectively, I am a dancing monkey. I literally show up on camera and ask questions to people.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I'm like, so tell me about what you work on, and then they tell me. But no, I actually, my particular training is in machine learning. I've been writing a machine learning library called NewML for all of those that want to do machine learning but feel like they can't. And right now, I'm in the DevOpsy part of it.
That's the official term.
Yes, DevOps. I'm going to call it Ops Dev. Because I want the ops people to feel like they get priority.
Okay.
So I've been ops deving this thing, and so I'm trying to get it so that you when you clone my stuff, you can run one thing and then it will just build correctly. And it turns out that it's incredibly non-trivial to do that properly.
Nice.
And so I've had to use some PowerShell.
Okay. Mm. Nice. I appreciate that reference there. Nice little name drop.
Yeah.
Nice
PowerShell.
PowerShell.
It's a love-hate relationship with her and I. She's abusive at times, but every once in a while treats me nice.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice. I just want to do a quick shout-out here to Esposito. Joined us in the chat room, and so did Freestyle Coder. Good to see you there. And, there's Steve Lane happens to have joined us as well. And even the CH9 guy as well. So is that you signed in as CH9?
Did I sign in?
You might have been in CH9. So careful with that. That's a very powerful Twitter handle.
Ooh.
The power of good that is there.
Yep.
You mentioned interviews, man. So have you done any cool interviews in the last couple of weeks that you can share?
Oh, man. So I did one. Like we are sort of optimized for throughput. So if I record something, usually it's out the next day or the same day.
Wow.
I did one with Docker Tools for Visual Studio, some of the stuff they're doing with Docker, which is in the sort of IT space-ish.
Yeah.
And so we learned how to actually write code and have it go into a Docker container. What do you do if you have multiple containers? How do you actually do the dev? And then also, how do you push it out? And so there's some new tools in Visual Studio for that. I've also done a number of data science-y type things, which are kind of fun. I did some on streaming analytics. I did another one on some machine learning stuff. And then I just, like, I think I have, like, two or three scheduled for today, but I usually don't know what they are until I show up.
Oh, nice. So you did a lot of pre-work then to be able to create for them. Now, you mentioned Docker containers and Visual Studio plug-in and that sort of stuff and how it's kind of Opsy-ish as far as where you're going for that and there. I'm curious, do you know if Visual Studio with Docker integration has ties into the Azure Container Service up
you know,
Azure?
Here's the thing. My understanding, and now you'll have to correct me and my ignorance will show, and everyone can make fun of me on the talk.io.
Nice.
Everyone has explicit. So what happens is when you're developing these things, one of the things that developers we've always been able to say to the IT folks is, it works on my machine.
Yeah, works on my workstation.
I don't know what your problem is. Just go over there. We'll throw some peanuts in there, and we'll shut the server room door, and you wear your coat while you're in there, as I know it's cold. But now with the advent of containers, you're effectively describing your environment as well. And so the idea when you're developing with Docker, for example, is that you're describing your environment, and you're pushing your code into it. But when you're developing the stuff, it takes a lot longer to sort of build a package and then put all those files inside of a container.
Right.
So at development time, it's pretty clever. In order to make it a little bit faster, the containers actually mount the location where your code is.
Right.
Instead of putting it in the container. And then that way, the environment is stable. It's the environment that you're actually going to push out, but the code is actually still on your box. It's not inside of the container. And so during development time, that's how they do that. When you actually do a build or a release time, then the container itself has everything in it, which then goes back to your question, can we use the container service?
Right.
Absolutely, right? Because now the container itself has everything in it for the release build.
Right.
But for the when you're debug build, it's actually mounting sort of your code into the container instead of putting the code in the container, which is kind of a clever way of being faster.
I must say, I've never actually known that. That's actually, you just taught me something I didn't know about.
Yeah, you know, it
man.
Happens every once in a while.
Every once in a while, if you pay attention to Passion Switch, you'll actually get a nugget of info that becomes usable in the real world.
I've been called a nugget of something before. I don't want to say it on
very
air.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. I see Fair Brit has joined us here as well in the chat room. Nice to see you there. And work-wise for me this week, honestly, we're getting ready to basically rev a product and make it released and generally available in time for Microsoft Ignite, which is coming up at the end of the month.
Hey,
I can't really talk about what it is, but I can just say that I've never had to deal with trying to get all the stuff finished, all the marketing stuff lined up, all the technical documentation lined up, all the changes to the websites and sort of stuff all lined up to be able to go live on a certain day, and I have a new respect for all the different processes if you're American, all the different processes that exist to be able to get that done. A little crazy. I'm dealing with a marketing person for the wording, the business operations folks to say, yes, we agree to what you're saying and that's possible.
Right.
And then I'm dealing with legal teams to say, yes, we're not legally going to be putting ourselves in trouble with that, to be able to amend and create a service level agreement. And because it's a legal document, I'm like, this is crazy, the back and forth you have to go through for this kind
of
stuff.
And then, of course, all the animals that have been lined out outside your office, you know, because you got to have a mascot for each and every feature, right? Is that what those animals were for?
I didn't even – you know what? I should probably find out what the official animal Ninja Cat logo T-Rex narwhal device is for Azure. Mm. Our sound engineer, you can't see him here, but he's actually wearing a T-shirt that says, ask me about my T-Rex because of –
The
Ninja
shirts.
Cat T-Rex shirts.
Yeah.
Now, the funny thing is I heard that KC was looking for a doctored version of it, that the cat was riding a scorpion.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
I heard about that.
It's like a rogue creation was created by somebody that actually has on top of a scorpion. Insane.
You know, I have the PDF. Like, you can import it into Illustrator and do whatever you want, but I have – marketing from Windows sent me the actual PDF.
Oh, yeah?
So I could...
Or the PNG file or the PDF file?
No. The reason why it's PDF, right, because...
PDD?
It's a PDF because then you can import it to Illustrator and it's all vector stuff.
Yeah.
And you can do whatever you want with it. And so maybe we should do one with the Ninja Cat writing like Joey.
Joey? Nah, I don't know.
He's Rick?
I don't want to cross that line with Joey because he's in his good books.
He's still tranquilized, from what I understand. He's not going to hurt you right now. I mean, it was a pretty powerful sedative they shot into him when he got near that kid in the enclosure.
From the trenches. Oh, my goodness. From the trenches.
Harambe.
Which is his middle name, right, I think. Joey Harambe Snow.
Okay, do I cut him off now or what?
Do we have a 7-second delay we can use
no,
with this guy?
We don't have a dropout.
A forcible exit of the guests that are out there.
I hope he's listening. This is fantastic.
He'll catch you on the replay.
Golnaz hasn't gotten the eject button.
It hasn't been worked up yet. It's the front prime of the studio.
Is that what the jetpack is on this chair here?
Yes,
is that,
yes.
Don't shoot me out all of a sudden, I'm going to shoot out the roof and stuff. Yeah.
See, we don't have the hole in the roof, so you just go straight in.
Just straight into the lighting here.
Straight in the lighting keys.
Good grief.
The next section, and this is what I'm going to interest this one here. The next section of the show that we normally do is called Beer Money.
Okay.
Do you know what beer money is?
No.
Come on. You must have done beer money before.
No, man. I don't drink alcohol at all.
No, but it's not actually about drinking.
What is it?
This is about we have your boss asking if you want him to step in for you.
We want the left-hander.
He's like, okay, he's out. It's
time to bring in the left-hander. Time to bring in the left-hander.
There's the concept of beer money is that you do tech support, or in your case, we'll do tech support or programming for a friend.
Oh,
or for a relative, family relative, or for some kind of organization, but they don't pay you. It's an expected – Oh, Seth, he's a programmer. Geez. He can go and fix my website and make my website with animated GIFs look better. Have you had any recent beer money exposures at your that you can deal with?
Like literally every time. Here's the thing, you know, and I'm looking at you people.
Do I need to zoom that in for you?
Here's the thing. Thanksgiving is coming up, which is translated free IT / dev support weekend for the family. You know what I'm saying?
It's a national holiday that most people have.
And it's like, hey, Seth, my computer's been having some problems. And I'm like, yeah, well, you should stop looking at all that garbage on the internet and downloading and installing things. But they don't like to hear that. They want me to fix it.
Of course not.
I'm going to fix it. What do IT people do? You guys like go and fix garages and stuff? I don't know.
No.
Garages.
Depends on the garage, his garage.
Sure.
Everyone has the stuff they've been working on for tech support. I mean, I honestly normally carry a USB key with an OS media install. Mm-hmm. I have spare Windows 10 keys that I've purchased from the Microsoft store that I give to my friends and family that are in need of them. Office install keys as well, just in case I need to install Office because I don't have Office. And generally, I find that I've become very intolerant. I go with the scorched earth policy.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? I don't know what you've done to your system. I'm not going to troubleshoot that.
Yeah.
Let's get your data off of there if I can find it, if it isn't crypto locked. and then go ahead and just like scorched earth nuke that machine.
But that's a whole afternoon, man.
No, man.
Not anymore.
Windows 10 installs, you can get that up and running and done in like 27 minutes, 25 minutes. Easy.
Yeah, but even with all the apps and stuff?
Easy. Done. Simple. I don't worry that much about apps. I get the main apps on there. It's like, okay, what do you need?
What are you doing for Thanksgiving? I have maybe you want to come by and just
hang out
together with all my family because they all bring their laptops.
Yeah.
All 30 of them. What's that? 30 times 30 minutes?
Have you had to do tech support with your significant other? Like your...
Yeah, sometimes she calls and she's
does she
like,
allow you to work on her laptop, or are you forbidden from touching that because it's going to end up breaking something worse?
No, she does. She's a designer, and so she does a lot of creative type stuff. And so usually I'm just so good that when I show up at the machine, then it starts to work every time.
It's the magical sphere.
Have you
intimacy.
Done that? Like you show up at the computer, like, well, it wasn't doing this before. Yep. You're like, okay.
Yeah, I had a customer back when I was a consultant. They used to hire me to come in when they ran their payroll checks. Because when I was there, the payroll checks ran just fine. But when I wasn't there, they would always get screwed up and have to fix their payroll.
I just had a really good idea for a job. You know, you just bring this USB key with a file that all the programs look for. let's see. Oh, it's working now. And then they just pay you to show up.
Nice.
But don't forget that magic USB card. You know what I'm saying?
Steve Lane just commented, why can't I use Outlook Express after you rebuilt my PC? Outlook Express, the lovely mail program that was built in the past. Everyone have a moment of silence for us.
You know you can go to like Outlook.com and that it looks just like Outlook.
Basically.
I mean, you can drag stuff.
It works
stuff.
Better.
Yeah. It's the best part. There's nothing to install either.
No, yeah. I still have like those Outlook.com. Like I used to, what was it? What was that old? What was the program again?
Outlook Express.
I had that thing installed and it would download all my emails and then I would have to save them somewhere. And so now I have hard drives of emails.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I think I probably still have a PST file archive of one of my first jobs back in the day.
I didn't know they had that at Jamba Juice.
No. It was Moose Juice.
Moose Juice, of course.
It's the Canadian franchise.
Of course. So you sort of put the moose antlers into the shake.
You know how much omega-3 acids are inside moose antlers from
like
the ground up?
It's like a moose antler booster for Orange Julius.
That's a $3 extra in shot that goes inside of that. $3 extra shot to make that one work.
Yeah. We got a couple people that joined the chat room.
Oh, nice. You're keeping on tabs on that because I'm falling woefully behind on saying hello to people. I apologize.
AZ Growler Guy, Pierre Roman, Desired by Life.
Pierre Roman is supposed to be attending training right now.
He's supposed to be attending training?
Training, some DevOps training, I think.
This is a DevOps episode?
This really is representative of DevOps.
Ops devs training.
This is the Ops Devs show.
It's Ops Devs now. It's not DevOps.
That could do it.
Yeah.
That could do it. For beer money for myself, I've been having this ongoing woeful issue with my Wi-Fi. I'm not going to be talking about that at all. Nice.
What's the password again?
But
Tim Hortons.
Do you have a static IP into your router? Because I want to know what it is. I want to know if we're in the same range, you know?
Oh, nice. The issue that I've been working with just recently from a beer money perspective has been still changing over the internet, and we signed up for a new home security system.
Ooh.
So a home security system, I'm playing around with
Look, dude, I told you I wouldn't come around your house anymore.
I know, but I was concerned, and so now I have motion-activated cameras that take automatic pictures. And I've got door sensors that send off alarms, and I have
look. I was just peeking once, that. Man. I was there. Look, I go to his window, right? I'm like, doot, 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 doot.
Do you know how scary it is to get someone knocking on your window at 11 o'clock at night?
Are you in there? I just wanted to see if you were okay. That's all. And now he gets a home security system. Gosh, man.
Nice.
Uh-oh, I think
don't take it personally.
I think Wireless Life posted your Wi-Fi password.
That is that's actually the password used by every government agency in Canada as their secure sign-in. So you can just share that one there out there if you want.
There you go. This.
Claudia Perez just joined us.
Yes.
Wow, a gang's all here. It's everyone's coming and join us.
So home security system.
Home security system is what I'm working on recently from a beer money perspective because it needs to be set up. And that one there has been not too bad. The interesting thing I got is first week of school up here in the state of Washington.
Yep.
Just recently happened, and the kiddies all got their school laptops.
Oh.
I will be pleased to say that in the district that I live in, they're all running Windows 10 Education Edition, which is nice. And they still have it locked down so tight with policies that I cannot install a printer on the computer.
Good for them. Do we have a clapping sound? Because amazing.
Yeah. Golf clap.
So they literally say in the one piece of paper handout they give the children when they come home to be able to show their parents and sign off on it, they say, you know, check the computer for any issues. The keyboard works, no scratches. You're reliable for all sort of stuff. And it says, I agree that I'm not going to do the following things on top of my computer. And then one of the things is, you know, for saving documents, they actually tell you, which is kind of cool, save it on OneDrive. And then access it from a computer in your house on OneDrive to be able to print, as opposed to just allowing us to put a printer.
They are locking that stuff down.
Insane,
that's
man.
Amazing.
I still have my workaround to be able to make them more useful. Windows to Go sticks.
Oh, hey.
So a Windows to Go stick inside the laptop works great.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm looking over the audio guide. Is Windows to Go sticks, are they still a thing with Windows 10?
Yes.
They still are available?
Oh, yeah.
What's Windows to Go? Is it like boot an operating system from the USB stick?
You don't know what Windows to Go is?
No, I don't. I'm a programmer. I don't do that stuff.
So a USB 3 class stick.
Look, he's giving me the
firmware.
Side eye. Did you see the side eye?
I know, I saw the side
eye.
That was good. USB 3 class USB stick that has a special firmware on it that basically allows it to look like an external hard drive boot. Modern PCs and laptops, you can actually say boot off the USB stick and it'll run an entire OS on it.
So there's just a lot of PowerShell scripts in there. Is that what we're saying?
It's a full Windows, dude.
I know.
Full
I'm
Windows.
Just
He's just messing
with
it.
Come on.
And so it allows you to boot off it, but then you have your entire work environment on the stick. So I know our audio producer has the Windows to Go stick that he uses on one of his systems to be able to do stuff. You still do that or not?
I haven't had to since I got the new Surface Book.
That's a name drop for him.
Yeah,
because
he got huge.
He earned $100 from the Surface people.
Well,
I mean,
they sponsored him to give him that book just to be able to say that on the air because we're
exactly.
You're running a, what is that?
It's
Dell XPS?
No,
Dell?
It's a ThinkPad. It's
a ThinkPad?
Lenovo.
It's a Lenovo?
It's old now.
Oh, okay.
And I'm a little embarrassed.
I'm on a Pro 4. I'm a Pro 4, which works quite good. I'm pleased with that one there.
Mm-hmm.
The USB stick allows you to save all your environments. Literally, you can plug it into any machine, and if the machine supports it, you'll be able to boot up off it. Look at those drivers. So it's kind of like a more advanced version of the you've probably heard of the live USB sticks for distros.
There was this thing called Nopix back in the day that I would just plug in, and it would load up Linux for us at school.
Same deal.
So, yeah, my kids started school, too. They promptly handed out to every student as well, but they were abacuses. So we're out more on the eastern side of Washington.
You're far eastern Washington.
We're in the shotgun country,
okay.
As I like to call it. And so everyone got their own abacus. Some of the colors were faded, though.
Everybody get issued banjos, too?
One per family, of course.
Okay.
My kids have to share.
There's a banjo shortage in eastern Washington.
There is. It's really crazy. You can't find them at any True Value. because that's the only store out where I live.
Nice.
I had a coworker who's used to love the song Dueling Banjos till everybody introduced him to the movie Deliverance.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen that movie. Is it good?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Oh, that means it's really good because only the good stuff goes on Netflix.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I just saw the tweet happening today, just as a side note that I'm excited for, is November the 17th. I think it is November the 17th. The Grand Touring show debuts on Amazon Prime.
What's that?
I'm a huge fan of Top Gear.
Oh,
which was discontinued.
The car show, right?
The car show.
It's not discontinued, but.
No, they actually, I think they discontinued it now.
No, they still have it on BBC.
I think they announced that they're discontinuing it. They're firing the host.
Well, they fired Chris, but they're keeping Matt LeBlanc.
Oh, okay. They're keeping Matt?
Yeah.
Anyway, the original three have created their own show with Amazon Prime. And it debuts. They filmed 6 episodes or 12 episodes.
So is it just like
on Amazon
like
Prime?
A camera going around a car with like really seductive music, or I don't know.
Have you never seen like one of the largest viewing audience shows in the world?
Dude, you just called me out on not watching television. Did you see that? Oh.
You can get it online too.
Okay, I'll have to watch half of one, maybe 10 minutes, 5 or so when I'm in the bathroom.
That one works. The next segment.
Did
of
you
the
just?
Show.
He moved on really fast.
I'm
from
trying
that
to
one.
Figure out how to transition. It's very difficult.
Yeah. Larry nearby again.
Yeah. Oh gosh,
I saw Golnaz.
I will tell you that
I'm tapping out. I'm tapping out. Bring it to life.
Phones have transformed the way we have all gone to the bathroom.
Oh God.
You know what I'm saying?
I think someone's calling you right now.
Oh,
do
man.
You take that?
No, it's that I should have taken it live. I get these calls from this is Susie from Cardholder Services. Do you ever get that call?
I thought you were going to say this is Susie from Windows Tech Support.
Oh, yeah. Now, those are fun.
Cardholder Services. Press one if you. And every time I always press one, and I just mess with the people because if they're going
to
interrupt me,
you
I'm going to spend
them?
An extra half hour. Messing with them.
Nice.
Yesterday or the day before, I just did the most annoying accent. It was fantastic. I should have just done it live here.
Do you use browser stacks at all in your development work?
I don't know what that is.
It's a website that you can look at your website on various different virtual machines of Macs and Windows.
Oh, I've heard of something like this.
Yeah, it's like usability kind of
thing,
right?
Yeah, it's usability. But the fun thing is you use it for those Windows support calls. I always pop up a virtual machine of a Mac, and I'm like, well, okay, I have Finder. Is that kind of like the start menu?
There's a dude that recorded a call.
Yeah.
And he in the background, you see the dude like working on his VM, and in the background you see him doing like reverse IP lookup to country, finding out exactly what their who their provider was, where they were, and it was just, I was like, I want to do that one day.
Oh, it's fun. Definitely fun to be able to do something like that, man.
Yep.
Messing with them. I just like to tie them up from a time perspective, answer questions, and do stuff like that.
Yeah, they hate that, which is great.
Because it kills their numbers, man. Yeah. They're paid for by scripts and numbers, right?
Yeah, but how could you be like showing up to work that day and thinking, I'm going to change the world. Susie from Cardholder Services is going to call Seth. They call me like 3 times a day.
Nice.
Maybe I need to not put my phone number on the bathroom stalls anymore.
No, it's. I bet you. Do you have your phone number on the internet? It's your social profile page or something like that, right?
No, I don't put my phone number.
Click on the button to call Seth right now.
Yeah,
you can do it.
Yeah. You know, you could set up an IVR in the cloud. Call Seth and then have it. You go, hi, you've reached Seth Juarez. Press 1 if you'd like.
Oh my gosh, that would be.
Hi, you've reached Seth Juarez.
But then the robots would troll each other, right? Because the robot would be, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. And then the other robot would be, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. And then the internet would explode.
It's like an internet loop back and forth.
Like an infinite loop of bots talking to each other.
Have you done any bot work? Have you been playing
around
with bot
the
work?
The first bot I ever built was in Japan. It was at a hackathon.
Yeah.
I was there to give a talk. And I was like, I have an hour or two. How hard can this be? And so what we did is we built this bot.
This is with the bot framework?
Yeah, the bot framework, the chat bots. And what we did is we had one guy build an IoT thing that took a picture on Windows, because you put Windows 10 on a Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
And it took a picture every 5 or 6 seconds, put it up into blob storage. And for the chat bot, what I would do is say, hey, what do you see now? And it would say, oh, it would take the latest picture.
Mm-hmm.
It would use cognitive services to tell us what was on the picture.
Oh.
And then it would respond and say, oh, I think I see a man sitting by a computer.
Nice.
And so imagine a bot where imagine that you have a Raspberry Pi at your house, now that we're talking about home automation. We're closing the loop, people.
Nice.
Imagine having a Raspberry Pi with that with the camera taking a picture every once in a while, and then you say, "Okay, what do you see now?" And it would say, "I think I see your tree or something." So
I see a man in a mask approaching your door to be able to steal the box of Amazon off your front porch.
Yeah, and so it was pretty cool that we were able to – he did the IoT thing in like an hour. I did the bot thing like in another hour. And together we built this thing really quickly because everyone else were working for like a couple of days. And we're like, we should probably do something. We're just sitting around. But in an hour we were able to make this thing that looked mildly intelligent.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. It was pretty fun. And we didn't put it on Skype or anything. We just did it in the bot tester thing. But it worked really well. What do you see now? And it would respond, I think I see this. Right, it was pretty fun.
Very, very cool, man.
So is Ignite next week? People are saying, hope to see many of you next week. Is it next week?
Well, some people leave in early to get there. Like I'm arriving in Atlanta on Friday.
Are the authorities aware of this?
They have been notified.
Okay.
I've been cleared for landing.
Okay.
And we're good.
Okay.
And then it kicks off on the Monday.
Oh.
For what it is on the Monday. So, fantastic. Yeah, it's coming up soon. We're going to have, in case you're wondering, we are going to have a Patch and Switch show. At Microsoft Ignite on the Friday. So that is the regular cadence for when the shows are happening. So we're going to be doing one again.
Fantastic.
If you're attending, you can come in and take a look at it. we unfortunately did not have budget to be able to bring the audio guy. So he's giving me the stink eye right now.
Oh, jeez.
Unfortunately.
Weren't you trolling him just before we started about him not going?
I was asking if he's going to be there, but he's not going to be there. So
Disc.
It's hard. It's hard. Hey, man, I do have to give him props for being able to get this up and running today because of the voodoo of the studio.
Yeah.
Having the EULA. I was in the chat room saying the EULA was giving us issues, and I was not joking. The EULA.
The EULA popped up every time.
Yeah. So he has to actually press a button to kick off the live stream.
We tell EULA not to show up in the mornings now because just he's a travesty and troublemaker.
It slows down stuff.
EULA, get out.
Yeah.
Seriously, he's at the door right now.
The it's like I don't know what to say. The door is empty. There's no one at the door.
Yeah,
right
I know.
Now.
I know, but they can't see that, man. Thanks for ruining the illusion and the magic of the show.
I'm breaking down the third wall.
Okay.
Down the third wall.
But it's the fourth wall we need to break down.
Yeah.
I like stage left. I don't know.
Smooth.
Why. Smooth out
smooth.
There. Okay, now you're testing me on my sections. We've had From the Trenches. We have Beer Money.
Beer Money.
The next one is supposed to be Beer Talk.
Beer Talk.
But it's going to be rather difficult to do Beer Talk because Seth doesn't drink.
No, I don't. Could you imagine me drunk? It would be horrible. I'm
already high
crazy.
On life as it is, and
yeah,
crazy as it is.
I'm already, but I'm getting reports right now that Joey is being roused as we speak in his enclosure. He seems to be okay. So just if anyone was worried about him,
he's good.
Yeah, he's good.
Okay, perfect.
What do you talk about during this beer talk?
Beer talk. We normally talk about any kind of beer related projects we've been working on or projects. Beer that we've made, beer that we sampled or drank, that sort of stuff. So for this one, I'll talk, and you don't have to participate.
No, I'll participate because I have something that I drank this morning that was delicious.
What was it?
It was a Jamba Juice.
Jamba Juice.
Not gonna lie, I went in there.
How do you get the? There's no Jamba Juice around here.
Yes, there is. In Redmond, there is.
So you drive through Redmond town itself?
Well, I live all the way out east, right?
Yeah. I thought you were up on the ridge.
I'm in Duval.
Oh, you're past the ridge.
Yeah, and so when I drive in, if I take just a tiny detour, I can get me my Jamba Juice, and I get the orange drink.
Okay.
With some soy protein. It's delicious.
Nice.
Yeah, so I should have brought it with me.
I do the shakes over here at Cafe 42.
Oh, are they good?
They're very good.
Do they have milk in it?
Almond milk.
Oh, because I'm not.
You're not milk. You're lactose intolerant.
You know, it's not that I'm lactose intolerant. It's just that the people around me become me intolerant when I have dairy.
Nice.
I'm okay with it, but other people they just can't handle. Okay. I don't know if I should get into it, Mr. Producer.
No, I'm trying to find the dump button here.
Is there a way to turn this off?
Yes, it's called Chop the Life.
Oh, I'm not on the camera. I suppose on the camera.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the people become me and tall. That's why I ask, is there dairy? Oh,
okay. No, there's no dairy. This is almond milk. And it uses greens. It uses dates. It uses chia seeds in 42. And then you can get, like, rice protein or whey protein added to it.
You never call, man. I love shakes.
Maybe we should go after the show. You've got interviews to do today, though, but I don't know. Also want to back up with, like, two protein shakes. It'll just
Back-to-back protein shakes?
Back-to-back protein shakes would just fill you up for the rest of the week, I think.
Does it back you up? Like,
no.
Let's stop with the potty humor, Mr. Producer.
What? I did nothing. I know nothing.
Well, oh, jeez.
Okay, so Back to beer, because we're supposed to be talking about beer at this one in the particular section. At Microsoft Ignite, I was doing my research to find out where the breweries were to be able to go off and try different breweries while I'm there. And I got a couple of recommendations. Monday Night Brew Club is there. There's also Sweetwater, and there's some other ones that are there too. But none of them are really close to where the venue is. So I am going to have to be using Uber to be able to go off and do them. Whenever I go traveling, I always try to find local breweries to go off and try out. Okay. So I will be partaking of Sweetwater as one of them, I do believe. They have tours you can do. But if you've never been to Atlanta before, you need to know that the liquor laws are pretty strict in Georgia. And tap rooms associated with breweries used to be all around the rest of the world. You're able to buy beer and pints and be able to have some while you're there after the tour. In Atlanta, you can only have 30 ounces of beer max, and it can't be in a full pint glass. It has to be in little shot glasses to be able to do samples, and that's it. So
you can't just show up without your hat the second time?
You can't
time,
show
or?
Up and say, no, you can't do it.
It's like, hi.
They also give you, like, tokens you have to exchange so you don't go past your limit. Otherwise, they lose their license on stuff.
Oh, so it's not like you can't just, like, take your hat off and be like, hi, I'm Brick Claus.
No, it doesn't work that way.
I'm his cousin.
Well, they wouldn't know me because as soon as you take my hat off, no one recognizes me.
Yeah, I didn't know who you were the other day. I saw you without your hat on. Who's this guy?
Who's this guy, this bald-headed guy?
Mm. Can you silence your computer?
I'm sorry. I have someone in my Slack channel is trying to ping me
for some reason. I heard some dinging. I thought, I was like, wow, man, look at you doing. Is that like a, you know, like, let's cut it? Sound effect that you're putting out for us, like ding.
No, you would have heard that a lot more earlier if there was.
Are you bleeping me? Is that what's happening?
No, I wish.
So, also on the beer talk front, which is kind of interesting and ties into the IoT space, is that I've been playing around with Raspberry Pis myself, because I found a utility called Raspberry Pints, and Raspberry Pints is a database back end talking to an Apache front end. That also has an attachment to an Arduino board that has flow meters on the Arduino board that can then attach up to your kegerator to tell you as you pour beer how much liquid is coming out of the tap. And it has a tap list of what the beer happens to be. So I have four taps in my house.
Oh.
I'm hooking this up, and I'm going to be able to have a tap list of my four beer that's available on this nice little screen. And also have a flow meter tell me how much beer I have left. And so that's my latest project I'm working on.
That's pretty amazing. Like IoT, all the things, right?
We're trying. It's someone else has made all the stuff. Basically, you just have to follow the recipe and put it all together. And that'll be the interesting part. But the hilarious thing is that they list off parts you can use, like a flow meter for like $25 for one flow meter. And I'm like, that's wrong. So I just did a little bit of internet searches and like, oh, look, from China, I can pick up, one flow meter for like $250, and
right. But it's going to report back your flow back to China.
But then you got to show up and pick it up, right? You have to pick it up in person.
No, they actually ship it. They actually have a shipfromchina.com website you can go to, and it probably tells you which the estimated delivery, even though it was free included delivery. Mm-hmm. Estimated delivery window is September 28th to November 12th. No idea. So this magical box is going to show up with six flow meters.
Is that China Prime or something? That's quite a window.
No idea.
I was going to say, is that on the slow boat from China?
It could very well be.
Quite a window.
So there's a picture Wireless Life just put up in the chat room talking about what the Raspberry Pints looks like. So I'll have a progress update as that takes a look at it. But I have a question for you, because the Arduino board is its own standalone thing.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's also... I don't know what the term is. It's durable. Like it's just there. It's good. You don't have to worry about programming it and starting it. Basically, the EEPROMs or something like that.
I think the Arduino. I don't know much about Arduino. I know more about the Raspberry Pi.
I'm using the Pi 3B, whatever it is.
Because you can put Windows on the Pi 3. Here's the thing. Like I'm also starting an IoT project myself. I submitted a talk to a conference called CodeMash, which is super fun. If you're anywhere in the Ohio or Midwest area, you should really look into CodeMash. And I submitted a talk where I was going to build this robot that was going to learn, right? And so I am to the point now where I've got Windows 10 installed, and I've got this thing called a Fez hat. And the idea is that with code, you're effectively activating pins and not activating pins.
Right.
And so my understanding is that the Arduino is similar to the Raspberry Pi, but not – you can't put Windows 10 on the Arduino.
Right.
So if you're used to like C-sharp coding, you can write a UWP app to do all sorts of cool stuff with the Pi.
My eyes are glazing over. He's talking about code again.
I know.
I apologize.
I was falling asleep.
But there is hardware there.
That's true.
Yeah, you can touch it.
So I went and I bought an Arduino as well as a couple of Raspberry Pis.
Mm-hmm.
I configured my second Raspberry Pi I've got configured right now for a Retro Pi. Have you heard of those ones there for being able to play games?
Yes, I have one. I did that, yeah.
So I've got a Retro Pi as well, which is kind of cool. And then for some reason, I ended up with a third Pi. I don't know if they sent one by mistake. Or if I order one by mistake?
Is it a French silk pie? Because I would love some
No,
French
you know what?
It's a strawberry rhubarb pie, I think.
The thing about it is when you start with IoT, like all of a sudden you need to get a bag because you have
– I get these bags.
And I'm going through the bag and I'm like, do I have four Raspberry Pis in here? What?
Yeah,
where did I even – how did I – and so I have like four of them. Most of them are twos and I bought one three.
Yeah. Besides flow meters, I've also bought some temperature sensors to be able to do some temperature control stuff.
Oh.
And I bought a intelligent switcher relay device that interfaces with the Pi that actually is able to turn on and turn off high voltage current.
Yeah.
So I'll be able to – just that statement coming from me is rather scary.
It is.
But I'll be able to basically make a fermentation chamber that allows me to turn a cooling unit on or off. And also turn an exhaust fan on or off based on temperature inside of this cooling chamber.
That's weird because last time I was in your house, you're like, hey, Seth, go into this room and hold this wire. Was that part of your project?
I was waiting to see how long you would stay in there.
Right, and then the high voltage meter was
It's a conditioning.
Sure.
It's a conditioning, Seth.
That's what that little ding was for, right? To get me to salivate? Because I'm really hungry all of a sudden.
need another protein shake?
We're programming the programmer right now.
I'm so hungry, man. What was with that little ding? Nice.
The Raspberry Pints program definitely is very cool, and seeing where it comes in to fit into the overall brewery aspect, where that is. And from a beer perspective, I did some beer maintenance this week. I didn't call audio guides because it was late at night when I just needed to do a quick filter of the beer. So I have the red ale is now ready to go. It's being carbonated right now.
You can do whatever you want.
And that's about it for beer talk, honestly.
Hold on, but my friend Chris Gardner, he's in Alabama, he said that the Arduino, it's the same idea, but you put a simpler program on there and it just auto runs when you start.
Well, that's good because I'm all about simple. Because I'm literally just the copy and paste of the coder of all. So I'm sure I'll be tweeting and looking for help if for some reason the flow meters are reading things backwards. Or if the volume
that would
wrong.
Mean you have the flow meters on backwards.
Did you know? In fact, I know a guy here at Microsoft. I did an interview with an intern, and she was working on IoT stuff. And I know the people. There is an IoT dev experience team here at Microsoft.
There is?
I know the dude that's the manager there.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, if you ever have any questions with this kind of stuff, let us know. Because we want people to do stuff with Windows 10 on Raspberry Pi 3.
Except all my Pis are running Linux at this point in time. You can get – is the Pi 3 – Pi 3 works with Windows, right?
So does the Pi 2, man.
Does it?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Seriously? You're running Linux – well, we love Linux anyways at Microsoft.
I work on the Linux team in Azure, so Linux is becoming second nature to me now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like breathing out and breathing in.
So you're going to be able to run Rainbow Six on that Linux? Sorry.
It's not my primary workstation. What are you guys talking about? It's not my primary workstation.
Yeah, but you can run Windows – the reason why I like from my perspective, I like Windows 10 on the IoT devices because I can write a UWP app that will work there and will work on my machine and will work on an Xbox and work on my HoloLens. I don't know.
You have a HoloLens?
We have one up in here.
They have a locked glass cabinet.
Yeah.
I tried to open it up this morning when I got here. And it's closed. They don't let me open those things.
Yeah.
I'm able to get into the studio at least until Larry and team hear this and then remove my access to the studio.
That's going to happen right after the show. I mean, I'm putting a call in right now, actually.
Send the email to remove him from the studio list for access. The next area that we have to talk about now, that was from the trenches, that was beer money, that was beer talk. Next one, which is four, is
random spending.
Random spending on technology gadgets.
Oh, my goodness.
So what technology gadgets have you purchased? And I will call out the fact that you are even without us prompting you, using the official headphones of the Patch and Switch show.
Well, I knew that. But although with the new phone, they got rid of the thing, man.
I know. Screw so that. They're going to have to go in. And so what, you need to have a $40 adapter to be able to charge as well as use the headphone jack.
Okay. So I am here past 6 months on Amazon. Past 6 months.
Oh, okay. I pulled it up
because I want to be able to give a detailed account
of all the stuff, of all the random spends that he's done.
I bought an iGeek mini USB Bluetooth CSR version 4 dongle dual mode.
What does it do?
So what it is it does Bluetooth. So the thing about when you're putting Windows 10 on an IoT device is that there's certain peripherals that we know works.
Right.
And so what I did is I went to that list and I just bought most of them. My wife may be watching, so I need to be careful.
We are on. We're in the iTunes store. This is actually registered.
Oh my goodness!
Store.
So
do I need to like take it out of focus and modulate your voice?
Can you blur my face? You
pixelate his face.
So what I did is I bought a number of the things that I thought I may or may not use. So this is a Bluetooth sort of dongle that you can put in the Raspberry Pi 3 that will work. There are drivers for it, and so I can theoretically create software that will communicate with the Pi 3 over Bluetooth.
Okay.
And so that's one thing.
That's the first thing.
I also bought a SunFounder 7-inch HD TFT LCD screen display. It's a screen that's about yay big.
Oh, it's got HDMI input on the back of it
and
for
so
the
that
Pi.
I can actually see what's coming out of the Pi because it's really useful. There's actually a piece of software that you can download that will let you connect to the Pi, and then you can see it over a browser and what's going on. So there is that. So I got two Samsung 128 gigabyte Evo Class 10 micro SDX C cards.
Nice.
Damn.
Yeah.
You're bleeping out all these sponsor names, right?
Yes.
Oh, are we not allowed to say this?
That's
all right. I can go on.
I supposed to go ching every time he says a sponsor
name?
Yeah,
I know. Seriously. I'm expecting those checks in the next couple of days.
Our lawyers, Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, have asked us to please read the following statement, that none of these suppliers have received or given us any endorsement whatsoever.
No, literally, these are items. If you go to IoT and you're starting with Windows 10, it'll tell you these things we know works. And the last, I bought a Raspberry Pi 3 and a wireless nano adapter that you plug in so that the Pi device can actually connect to the internet. And so you can see I'm doing a lot of IoT stuff, and that's just page number one.
We have IT Prayer in the chat room just mentioned that he picked up an Anker essential oil diffuser that he's going to hopefully power with an external Anker USB battery pack so he can walk around Microsoft.
And if you get a flow thing, you could put it on your mouth, and every time I have dairy, we know the diffuser should start to work away, right?
That could work,
too. To put those to counteract the effects.
You could do that.
Yeah.
You could do that.
He's wishing he bleeped that whole section right now. It's not possible. What gets laid down and live is what goes out.
For me, for random spending, I've been stocking up on the Raspberry Pi stuff. So a couple of Pis, the Arduinos. I had to buy. It's the weirdest thing. I've had to buy like 426-inch wires.
Yes.
That are male, mm-hmm. female, or female, female.
And you have to peel them off from each other. It's great. It's like, let me just get another one out.
I don't want the blue one. I want the red one. It's 3 in, and now I'm going to have them loose.
All three of them out,
right? Because my OCD-ness, I have to have all of them the proper color.
I also bought a multimeter. I mean, this is serious stuff, man. We're going full IoT.
Good God.
Yeah, I know.
Multimeters are handy.
Yeah, I know.
Very handy.
Well, I just wanted to say I have one. I haven't used it at all. I don't even know what I'd do with it.
That works.
I've been contemplating buying some additional LED lights for the house.
Okay.
I saw a neat project recently where a guy has gone in and basically using a computer power supply from a junky, we all have computer power supplies laying around the house, right? Just all over the place.
I just leave them in my kids' room.
It's perfect. It's building blocks, right? Yeah, building blocks.
Sure.
What he did was he basically wired his entire garage with LED strip lights. You can buy the LED lights on a copper reel, and basically has run them all through the entire garage, covering the trusses in his garage, and then he's powered them all using the USB power supply, using the power supply from the computer, to be able to have a nice level, no dark spot illumination in his garage.
And well, so there's an area in your backyard by the shed. Don't illuminate that area. I'm doing some things there that I don't want you to know about.
You're the reason why
that's legal now.
Yeah, you're the reason why my dog Riley freaks out when I let him out at nighttime to go
Riley.
Pee.
Riley, dang that dog.
That can work.
I actually did some random spending this week.
Oh, what'd you do, man? It's
I got a wall mount. I have two monitors on my desk at home. Yeah. I actually got a wall mount to pick them up off the desk, so I have more desk space.
That's good.
But the other one,
are they on a swing arm so you can move
swing
them
arms,
around?
And they're gas. They
have
a gas.
Have you guys seen the new monitors that Samsung's come out with? Gaming monitors
the
that are 24-inch gaming 1 millisecond curved aspect ratio monitors, 4K.
Yeah.
Nice.
I might need one of those for editing video, man.
That you guys did the big splurge on Caitlin's editing workstation with a pair of 4K monitors. Pretty sweet.
I have one too, actually.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
But the other thing was prepping for my oral surgery yesterday. I got one of those nice blenders.
Oh, yeah. Because you're going to be eating blended food for
For the next couple days.
Nice.
Couple of weeks, perhaps. A couple of weeks.
No, it's actually, I'm doing all right.
You should just go full Soylent. You know, become a hipster and go full Soylent.
It's people.
I've never tried Soylent. Like, I'm scared of it.
I know. You're afraid, like, there really is moose antlers in that thing. Oh, yeah. You know, may never know.
Yeah. I've seen some interesting videos of finding protein and just tearing apart. It's not good. Not good.
There's like people nails in there. Oh, hair and stuff.
People.
We don't
it
know
is
what's
people.
In there.
It's people.
Ooh. Nice.
Soylent is people. Didn't you see the movie?
You can buy it. You can buy it off of Amazon now.
Nice.
Oh, good God.
Look, here's the thing. If it's on Amazon, it will likely end up at my house at some time. That's why I'm not sure.
Are you a random spender with Amazon?
I may or may not have purchased Soylent as we speak, right now.
Can you confirm or deny?
I can neither confirm nor deny the purchase of a Soylent.
I'm just glad that they don't have, the Google I'm feeling lucky button?
Yeah.
They don't have that for Amazon.
Oh,
thank God.
Can you imagine that?
Could you imagine that?
You could program an IoT device, a button, that, you know, it's like a big question mark with Amazon on it. You press the button, you have no idea what you just bought.
And the cool thing is that you could push it like day one, and then get the item day two, and then push it day two, and it's like the item arrived right then because you don't know what it is. And so even with the time differential, you just need one lead day. You push the button every day, and you get something that same day.
That was the thing I was so amazed at. The blender I bought, they had it available next day, and it was there on the porch after I got back from the oral surgeon.
I've even got them for the same day delivery for my Raspberry Pi stuff.
Have you heard about the new idea of a startup, drone delivered burritos? Sounds like the greatest thing I've ever heard. Except like I'm going to be outside like
waiting.
Catch it!
Chipotle is doing something like that at one of the Virginia colleges.
Oh nice!
Oh my goodness! Is it to get rid of the?
I could use one of those.
I could use one of those. Those would be so bad.
Is it to get rid of the E. coli? They're just going to fly it through the air? Sorry, that's not.
That adds
that was Sorry, that was not an ad. I'm so sorry about that.
What's the reverse of chick-ching?
I'm not going to repeat this, but I Be a Geek 03 just came up with a great idea for what this button should be called.
Oh. Yes, yes.
I like, inside the chat room.
I like AZ Growler Guy's response to what I should be having post-surgery here.
Beer. Lots of beer.
Lots of beer.
Yeah, please be careful with the consumption of alcohol when you're on prescription meds.
But make sure you get the Orange Julius or whatever that orange drink I get from Jamba Juice because it's delicious.
We're gonna have to swap protein shake recipes or something like that.
Yeah, we will.
It's for real.
Or like I said, just go full Soylent.
Nice.
Stop.
We are coming close to the end of the show. We're going a little bit over just because we started late and all sort of stuff. Yeah. But
we're just going to the final
segment of the show. So it is the
fifth
segment, which is the naming segment, where we look for three work-safe words from our chat room. And since you are a special guest, you can actually pick one of the three words that come up if you want, Mr. Seth.
Well, I'm trying to understand. Work-safe words like, I feel like I'm in danger?
No. Is in like whatever the word happens to be. That's how we name the show. Do you remember what the name of the show was this week?
Oh, good God, no.
It's your job. You had one job.
I posted it.
Okay.
I just forget it the minute I post it.
Okay. Well,
I mean, it's a pretty difficult. I know the Dungeness is one of the words.
Dungeness crab is one of them?
No, just Dungeness because the episode prior was crab.
Right.
Crabs.
Well,
crap.
Obviously, AZ Growler is coming up with Soylent as one of them.
Well, IT Prayer, I just read this almost wrong. Best book on Amazon, How to Avoid Big and I thought it said something else. And I was like, I could read that book.
Nice.
Actually. Nice. How to avoid big ships.
You got it.
Like boats.
Like boats.
Yeah. I think ships should be one of the
words. So are you okay with the first word?
Yeah, Soylent.
Being Soylent?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyone else from the chat room? We have people that are coming in to be able to say a work-safe word, to be able to name the next episode, which will be taking place at Microsoft Ignite, which will be fun. While that's going on, I guess, I'm trying to think of what Joey does at this point. Where's the band? Is the band?
I don't know where the band is. You were in charge of the band.
Does he start saying hello to people in the room or goodbye to people in the room while the band is playing?
Yes.
While it's playing, though. Okay. Here we go. What do you think?
Random ships diffuser. I like ships.
Okay. Yeah. So we got Soylent is one.
Uh-huh.
What's it going to be? Two more out of that list.
I don't know. Random's so good for this episode.
Okay. So
diffusing. IoT. Soylent IoT ships.
You think so? Okay. Officially, that is the next one for what the next episode is going to end up having to be.
Fantastic.
And we are – where is this? Hang on. Got to figure out how to do this. Switch this to there. Switch this to that. We got to say goodbye to our lovely friends inside of the chat room.
Thanks.
And I think I hear the band coming.
Here they come.
To be able to play.
File into the room, gentlemen. Ladies,
there they are. Well, this brings an end to another completely random episode of Patch and Switch, or Patch and Seth today.
Yes,
thank you very much, Seth, for joining us.
Thank you.
Quickly saying thank you very much for joining us in the chat room, Mr. Jay Shockley. Caleb Jenkins, IBAGeek03, DSR by Life, Freestyle Coder, Pietro Ma, Henrik, Bork Bork, IT Prayer, Frederick Nielsen, Fair Brit, Claudia Perez, Kosher Coder, Soren Fisker, Mr. CH9, Patch and Switch, AZ Growler Guy, and anyone else that my browser has not happened to refresh correctly.
Thank you.
You never know. And thanks for coming out, for joining us, man.
It's been fantastic. Again, hopefully Joey Snow is recovering from the tranquilizer in his enclosure.
We will keep everyone updated on his current status. And with that, have a great weekend.
Take care.
Everybody.
Bye-bye. This was so damn random.